worship that afternoon. There will be a children's program, 3 to 5. There's still a need for some men to volunteer with that. So I encourage you to let Santa know if you're willing and able to do that. And also, in light of the activities that day, we will not have Sunday evening services next weekend, the next Lord's Day.
There are other announcements that need to be made today.
Otherwise, there's a bulletin. Encourage you to look at those.
Well, let's prepare our hearts. And George will have the scriptural points.
Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And there is no salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among mankind by which we must be saved. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And it is by Jesus only that anyone is saved. Who alone is pure but Jesus only? Who alone is without spot or blemish but Jesus only? Who alone is without sin but Jesus only? Who alone has made sin for us, but Jesus only? Whose blood alone can wash away our sin, but Jesus only? Whose righteousness alone can make us acceptable to God, but Jesus only? Whose sacrifice alone can appease the wrath of God, but Jesus only? Who alone can take you to heaven, but Jesus only? Make grace reveal to us, Jesus only. Please take a few moments to reflect on this.
Done and great now rejoicing through.
he would be a
Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, as we sit underneath now this word, this living word, this word of the living God, Lord, we pray for a spiritual work to occur. That God, you would quieten our souls, subdue us, grant us the grace to be still and hear the word of our King and our Savior. Lord, speak forth from your word. May we see with eyes of faith the Savior, the Lord Jesus himself, the living word. So give grace to our brother, Pastor Darrell, as he proclaims this word. Speak through him and give us grace to hear what the Spirit has to say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please rise.
The power of the cross. Slay.
invite you to recite with me from Acts chapter 4, verse 10.
Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well.
Good to see you in the Lord's house this morning as you come to worship the Lord, the living Christ. I would invite you please to take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 17. I want to read the first 8 verses from Matthew 17. It's a familiar text to all of us, I believe. I want to draw your attention to only one verse this morning, and that is verse 8. But we'll read the first 8 verses together. I'm reading from the King James Version. I happen to have a preference for this, and so I love this verse of Scripture. Scripture says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. May he give us understanding of his word. This is the word of God. We bless his name for his word. Let's pray together. Now, Father, it is no accident that we have come here this morning to worship the King of Kings of whom this text speaks, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our great privilege as believers in him, as his children, to come and worship at his feet, to bow down, to sing hymns of praise that exalt this glorious person, the Lord Jesus. I would pray this morning, Father, that you would speak from your word, that you would open our hearts to receive it, and that we would leave here much differently than we came in because we have had experience with the living Christ today. May your Spirit come and do his gracious work that only he can do. Bless your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Solo Christu, or Christ Alone, and we have sung hymns already that I think echo that theme. Some of you may know from history that when the Reformation took place, there were 5, what we call 5 watchwords of the Reformation, which included the title of the message this morning. Those 5 words were sola gratia, which means grace alone, sola fide, which means faith alone, solo Christu, which means Christ alone, sola scriptura, which means scripture alone, and soli Dei gloria, which means to the glory of God alone. And remember our history in this country. When the Revolutionary War took place, there was a theme that was echoed throughout the 13 colonies. And that theme was, no king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. While I was thinking about this passage to bring to you this morning, it occurred to me that what the disciples saw as they were overwhelmed by this voice was Jesus only. That these three men saw Jesus only was notable because they had seen two other great men of old who were with Jesus. They saw Moses and Elijah. And then Peter says, I think rather brashly, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses and Elijah. And isn't it strange? Isn't it strange that after saying this, they're overwhelmed by a voice from heaven? As if to say, I don't approve of what you just said, Peter. What's necessary for you is to see Jesus only. And what happens? Well, we read it in verse 8, didn't we? And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. The voice did speak of Moses. The voice did speak of Elijah. Rather, the voice spoke of the Father's satisfaction with himself in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus only was who they saw. Now, it surely was a great thing for Peter and James and John to see Moses and Elijah and Jesus. But equally glorious, perhaps more so, was for them to see Jesus only. Jesus only. Christ alone. It may have been useful for them to be refreshed, to go up on that mountaintop. And how many of us have been there on occasion? And I have to apologize publicly to Jordan this morning, because last night I was supposed to do the benediction for our church in Dialogue. And I was engaged, I think, in one of those mountaintop experiences I've been studying for the message this evening, which, by the way, I'll be speaking on the rapture tonight. So if you have questions about whether you're pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture person, or a post-tribulation rapture person, Joe, come tonight and we'll talk about that. But I remembered I was supposed to be here to do the benediction for the Church in Dialogue last night, and then suddenly it was 8:30, and the Church in Dialogue was over. But I was studying for the message tonight. So it was one of those rapturous moments for me, I guess. Not so much for me not being here. So Jordan, I just apologize to you in front of everybody for not being here last night. Nonetheless, it was one of those experiences. And you probably had them as well. Those mountaintop experiences that Peter and James and John had right here. But conversation and ordinary life with Jesus only should be the mark of every Christian. What do you want but Jesus only? Who do you need but Jesus only? Listen, when those men came down from the mountaintop, they didn't come down with Moses. They didn't come down with Elijah. They came down with Jesus only. They were in as good a company and maybe better company when Moses and Elijah was with them, because who is better than Jesus only? Who would you rather be with than Jesus only? See, that's the theme, isn't it? He walked among them wearing ordinary clothes. He didn't dazzle their eyes when he was with them all the time. He was just with them. He was as glorious in his ordinary clothes as he was when he was upon that mountaintop with them. There never is a time when Jesus is not glorious. They saw him robed in splendor and majesty, but they walked with him every day. They saw him as he agonized in the garden. They saw him when he spit on the ground and made mud for a person's eyes, and the men saw. They were with Jesus only. And may I say this, robed in in splendor or dressed in ordinary clothes, the greatest sight that you and I can ever have is the sight of Jesus only. He is all we need. He's all you need when you're going through hard times, Heather. He knows you. He loves you. You only need Jesus. Jesus only is the hope that we have. Jesus only, after all, is much better than Moses and Elijah. He is Jesus only. No other can be him. He alone is Jesus. And so while I was musing upon this topic this morning and thinking about how Jesus only is the only supreme endeavor for us while we're here, I would be amiss to say anything to you if I didn't tell you that you must also see Moses if you would see Jesus only. Now, why do I say that? Why must you see Moses if you would see Jesus only? I say that because you must first pass under the thunders and lightning of Sinai, and it's where the law was given to Moses, and the terrors of the law if you would see Jesus only. You must understand that the law is given to you to point you to Christ. The law is your schoolmaster, and who is the one who gave us the law but Moses, as he met with God on that mountain? You must understand then that it is the law of God that comes and convicts you of your sin. And without the law of God, you'll never come to Christ, because it's that law that points you to him. You must come under the smashing blows of the law of God. You must have that hammer smash your conscience with the things of God that you have violated. You have violated his person. It's the law that tells you that. And so you'll never know Jesus only until you come to understand that you have violated God's law, God's person. And that law points you to the one who can forgive you for breaking that law. You must know Jesus only, but you can only know Jesus only once you've gone to Mount Sinai and then to Calvary. And what should I say about Elijah? You'll never know Jesus only unless you also know Elijah. Elijah, who was he? He was a prophet of God. And what did Jesus say about John the Baptist? If you can hear this, he is Elijah who has come. You must also know the prophet, Elijah. You see, if you don't understand the prophecies, how can you understand what they mean? How can you know how they pointed to Christ and how those prophets in the Old Testament, all of them without exception, pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ? Years and years ago, when I was at Cosmosdale, there was an old deacon who was so wise, his name was Sid Dennis. He said to me way back then, he said, "Darrell, if you look, you'll find Jesus on every page of Scripture." He was right. And all those prophets wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And they are those things which testify of me. So those prophets wrote about Jesus. And you see, you must understand that Jesus has been foretold by those who spoke of old regarding him. Jesus only. Do you know Jesus only? So this morning I want to dwell upon that simple theme, Jesus only. I want to hold him up beyond measure as important and delightful, and I will bear testimony this morning. Just like was said of Goliath's sword, there's none like it. And may I say to you this morning, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. And so first of all, we'll talk about what might have happened to the apostles after Transfiguration. Then I'll say a few things about what did happen. Then I'll say a few things about what we should desire. So what might have happened? What might have happened after Transfiguration? First, I want to consider that what might have happened to the disciples after Transfiguration was that they saw no one. That might have happened. They saw nobody. Nobody might have been on that holy mountain with them. Now what would that have been like, you suppose? When the cloud overshadowed them and they were terribly afraid, they might have lifted up their eyes and saw nobody. Not Moses, not Elijah, not Jesus. What if that was the case, that they saw no one? What would have been their circumstances if they didn't see Moses, if they didn't see Elijah, if they didn't see Jesus? What would that be like? What do you suppose? Not to see anyone. As they just witnessed this great event, the Lord Christ in splendor and majesty, and suddenly it disappears in thin air. Nobody's there. What might have happened? They just had a banquet. And now the dessert's taken away. What was that like? What would that be like? They wouldn't have gone down the mountain with instructions from the master. They would have been met with scribes and Pharisees who would ask them tough questions that they maybe couldn't answer. They couldn't minister to the crowd that might have been waiting for them. If they saw no man, they didn't see Moses, they didn't see Elijah, they didn't see Jesus. What kind of day would it have been if they hadn't seen anyone after the transfiguration of the Son of God? What would that have been like? Now you say, Brother Darrell, that didn't happen. It couldn't happen. Could it? There are some in this world, and I count myself among them, who that has happened to. How many times have you heard a sermon? I've been reading the scripture, and you were taken to a place of a mountaintop experience, and shortly afterwards you forgot it. How many times have you been stirred by a sermon that was preached, and maybe you were taken to a place in your own soul of conviction, and you felt the presence of God, but then somebody asked you later, "Well, what did the preacher preach about this morning?" And you couldn't remember. How often does that happen to you? It's happened to me. Isn't that like having no Moses, having no Elijah, and having no Jesus? It's an awful feeling. Maybe you just couldn't remember what the preacher preached on. There was no Moses, no Elijah, and worse still, no Jesus. Well, another possibility is that they might have seen Moses only. What would that be like? To see Moses only. What was it like when he came down from the mountain, from Mount Sinai? Well, they couldn't stand to look at him, could they? They were blinded by the splendor of God that was all over his face, so he had to cover his countenance, his face, so they couldn't see Moses. I don't think it would be a good thing for us to just see Moses only. It'd be like, to see Moses would be like exchanging the sun for a flickering candle, wouldn't it? When compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. It would have been a cruel thing for them to lose the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name is love, and to have found a leader who's synonymous with the law, wouldn't it? How cruel would that be? Moses, the man of God, can never be compared to Jesus only, who is the Son of God, can he? It would have been a great step down to have seen Moses only, would it not? And how many people today, right here in the church, are seeing Moses only? They burden burden themselves with the law, thinking they have to keep this and do that to be acceptable to God. What about you this morning who sit here? Are there certain things you think you have to do to be acceptable to God? How many think you must still do this and do that or improve your standing before the Lord? How many still think they must keep the law and perform to a certain level to be accepted? And so you're holding on to Moses only rather than Jesus only. You see, there are far too many people who see Moses only and who've never come to see Jesus only. If I just come to the Lord's house on Sunday morning, perhaps that'll make me okay. If I just read my Bible, perhaps that'll do. If I just come to the waters of baptism, maybe that'll be acceptable. Or maybe come to the communion table. If I just do, the faith of those who believe in Jesus is a faith that's done. Done. Jesus only. Well, what if they saw Elijah only? What would that have been like if they had seen Elijah instead of the Savior? Their concerns are only with the last days. Eschatology, big word. It just means the study of end times, the study of the latter days. And what happens is that they seem to forget that we live today. We have life today. We must live in the present moment. And we have real concerns today, and we need a Savior for today. We need a Savior who will carry us from today until the end days, until our end. We need Jesus only, you see, not Elijah only. We must have Christ only. Those who see Elijah only have forgotten that the gospel is as necessary for us today as it will be in the last days. Whenever those days occur, and we're in them now, I think. And we need Jesus only right now, dear ones. Elijah won't do. They might even emulate Elijah by sitting under the juniper tree, you know, just waiting. Oh, whatever will be, will be. That's not how we live. We must never live that way, feeling sorry for ourselves. Talking about how bad it is today. What is bad today? That's why we need a Savior today. We need Jesus only. Now, how many present-day Elijahs speak only of future woe and forget that we have problems today? Oh, it's going to be so bad when that occurs. Yes, but beloved, it's bad now. And we need Jesus now. We need Jesus only now. Christ alone. That's who we need. People who are just like Elijah. The problem is they never see that Elijah who said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." They're always preparing the way. They never come to the way. You see, preparation only never leads to Jesus only. Elijah was that one who was prepared the way of the Lord, right? John came doing that very thing. But he is the one who said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus only is who we need. Well, dear ones, if we would see Jesus only in his brilliance, that would obliterate the sight of Moses and Elijah. Why? because Jesus has satisfied every demand the law makes upon you. Jesus has fulfilled all the law. Not only that, but in Jesus you see all prophecy fulfilled. They find their yes and amen in Christ. Whatever prophecy it is, the lives of Moses and Elijah are already in Jesus only. Nowhere else. Jesus is the fulfillment of all those things. And if you've seen Jesus only, you can lay aside the book of the law because it holds no sway over you whatsoever. Now, do you want to keep the law because it's pleasing to the God, to the living God, for you to do so? Yes. We believe we are to obey the law, to follow the dictates of the law because it's honorable to God. But we don't need the law to save us. We need the living Christ. We need Jesus only to save us. In Jesus, you may write fulfilled for every prophecy. Jesus only. We may love and enjoy our Lord's days. And I do. Don't you like coming here? Isn't it your great pleasure to be here this morning? I hope you're not here because you just felt, I got to go to church today. That's not why you're here, so Linda. You're here because you want to be here, right? Because it's your joy to be here. How much better is it going to be when we see the Lord of the day? We're in His presence visibly, seeing Him, seeing His thorn-crowned brow with those scars. How much better will that be? How much better will it be when we see the prints in His hands and His feet and that awful gash in His side? Jesus only. That's what we want. See, it's time we get beyond the desire to see and want lesser things. To be satisfied with so much less than Jesus only. We need Him. And while we have had great experiences of joy and pleasure here, our real joy and pleasure should be the pleasure we find in Jesus only and nowhere else. It is Christ and Christ alone. And as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, may it be our portion then to find that grace and knowledge in Jesus only and nowhere else. Jesus only. Well, what actually did happen when they were overshadowed? What happened? The scripture says they saw no man save Jesus only. They didn't need Moses for comfort. They didn't need Elijah for comfort. Who did they need? Who did they need? Say it again. Jesus only. That's who they needed. Moses was gone. They didn't want Moses for comfort. Elijah was gone. They didn't need Elijah for their comfort. They needed Jesus only. Who was it that spoke to them when that voice from the cloud overshadowed them? Who was it that spoke to them? It was Christ. It was Jesus only who spoke to them. What did He say? He swept away their fears. He said, "Arise and be not afraid." They didn't need Moses and Elijah, but they needed Jesus. You don't need Moses and Elijah, but you need Jesus. Jesus alone, Jesus only can save. That's who you need. Jesus only could wash away their sins. Moses and Elijah cannot do this. We sing that hymn, don't we? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We need Jesus only. All the priests and the pastors and the ministers and preachers can never accomplish what Jesus only can accomplish. We need Jesus only. Our watchword, if I may say it, must be the same say it, the preaching of the disciples was centered on one theme, was it not? Jesus only. Notice what we recited. Neither is there salvation in the other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if you ask who that is, this is it. Being known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not Moses, not Elijah, no one else, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. Beloved, it is Jesus only that we need. It's Jesus only that we preach. Let us get a sight of his thorn-crowned brow, and we'll know. Let us see his eyes all red with tears because he bled for us. We'll want Jesus only. We might venerate and honor Moses and Elijah, but who do we love? Who do you love that you've never seen? Never seen him, but you love him. It's Jesus only that we preach. Nothing added to him, nothing taken away from him. Jesus only. And by the way, Jesus is the only stimulus that you need to serve Christ. He is the only one. May I tell you that Jesus only is your reward? To be with him where he is, to behold his face, to see him as he is, there's not another heaven like that. Jesus only. What an amazing time. I've been asked in the past, what's the first thing you'll see when you get to heaven? What do you want to see when you get to heaven? You know, some folks say, well, I want to see my loved ones. And I have some sympathy for that. I have some empathy for that because I understand we want our loved ones to be in heaven. We long to see them there. But what's the one thing? Who's the one person you really want to see? Jesus. Isn't that true? I want to see him. I want to see him. I want to see those scars that have been glorified. And I want to know that he shed his blood for me and those scars were made for me. So may Jesus only be our delight now and forevermore. May our desire be for Jesus only, and may our cry be for Jesus only. So, what's our expectation this morning and every morning? What do you really desire? That's the question I'm asking you now. What is it you desire today? What do you want more than anything in your life? Well, above all things, we should desire Jesus only. We should desire that for ourselves and for everyone who is sitting in this sanctuary this morning, shouldn't we? We should desire that everyone wants Jesus only. Shouldn't we want that? Should we want that for our friends and our neighbors and our enemies and our relatives, our loved ones? Yeah, even our enemies. Shouldn't we want them to want Jesus only? Shouldn't we desire that the nations want Jesus only? Shouldn't that be our desire? But if I ask you, each of you, this morning, and you would be honest, and I think you'd be honest, Joe, I think you'd be honest with me if I asked you this question, so maybe I'll just ask you. I might ask Tammy or somebody else or Peggy or Eva way back in the back, or Dave back up there in the sound booth. Or maybe Don or Mary back in the back. They're hiding back there. Or maybe Tim back there. What is it you desire most? What do you want most? And if you would be honest, some of you might say, well, I'd like to be happy. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Or maybe you might say, I want to hold this little baby in my lap. And I just desire to put that little baby up next to my chest so I can feel that warmth. And that's a good desire, isn't it? Doesn't that make you feel good? Oh, I know it does. And maybe you want the best for your children. Maybe you're looking forward to the school opening here at the church, and you can't wait to get your kids enrolled here. Your grandkids. Oh, wow. I got 11 of those rascals. And they're rascals, you know. And I want the best for them. Don't you want the best for your children and your grandchildren? Or maybe children to come? Who knows? Sydney? You just never know, right? You better get down to Georgia in a hurry. You know, I do this all the time. Don't feel like you're... I love to talk to the congregation. That's what I'm doing now, right? What do you need more than anything? What should you desire more than anything? What is it, Kathy? Jesus only. I want, above everything else in my life, even the health of my wife, which means so much to me. And by the way, she's doing grand. But I want, above all that, Jesus only. That's what I desire. And that's what the apostles desired, was it not? That's what Peter preached. That's what Paul preached. That's what men in the past, that's what our forefathers preached. And that's what the Father wanted. He wanted the Son. Imagine that. He wanted Jesus only. What did he say to those disciples? Look, this is my Son. This is my Son. Listen to him. That's what I say to you this morning. This is God's Son. He is Jesus only. You listen to him. And that should be our desire. And if that's the Father's desire, shouldn't it be ours as well? Jesus only. May the Lord grant us that singular blessing that we would want and have Jesus only. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts for the glory of his name. And may each of us walk out of here this morning wanting above everything else Jesus only. Let's pray. Our Father, there is no one like you. There is no one we desire above you. We must have your Son if we would know you. We must have your Son, Jesus only, if we would come into a right relationship with you. We must have his Spirit dwelling inside of us if we would know him and know the Father. And so we beg of you that this morning as we have gathered here together, the one thing that is in our minds and upon our tongues is this great theme of the Lord Jesus Christ only. May he be exalted today. May our hearts be filled with his presence. And may we know this person that the disciples saw when they were on that mountaintop. They didn't need to see Moses and Elijah when that voice cloud overshadowed them, that voice came from the cloud. They just needed to see Jesus only, and they did. Oh God, thank you that they did, because they came and bore testimony. So we read from Peter this morning. When he's on that holy mountain, he heard this voice and he saw Jesus only. Dear Father, help us to see Jesus only this morning and all the days of our lives. Spirit of God, make it so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to stand and sing a number in closing. If the Lord has spoken to you, as I always say, and you respond to his voice, maybe you need to talk to me or perhaps Joe or Don. We invite you to do so as the Lord leads. And I'm going to ask Joe, if you don't mind, would you come stand in front? I'll just stay up here because it's better for me to stay right here. And if you would. And the Lord Back, I can't make it to the back very easily, so Don's offered to help